Good morning and welcome in the name of Christ. We are excited to have you joining us for this morning's message. Today we are working with the book of Genesis, chapter 17, verses 1 through 7 and 15 through 16, where God tells Abraham that he is about to fulfill the promise he made to him of a son. Have you ever noticed that some things are timeless, some things last forever, while other things, well, not so much? Lately, it seems all we hear about are marriages that don't last and couples splitting up. But then I heard about a couple who were doing just fine. As they celebrated their 10th anniversary, they were thinking about the promise they had made to one another and the fact that their marriage had actually survived most everything else associated with their wedding. The bridal store where the bride had purchased her dress had gone out of business. The bakery where they had purchased their cake had gone bankrupt. The florist where they bought their flowers, she had gotten cancer and died. The pastor who had officiated at their wedding ceremony had quit and was no longer in the ministry. And the quaint little church on the hill where they were married, well, it was now closed. It seems that many things in our world today just don't stand the test of time, including our promises. We often make promises with every intention of keeping them, but find that down the road, it may cost us to do so. And what about guarantees? They are also supposed to be legally binding, a formal covenant that is supposed to be difficult to get out of. Yet there are countless stories out there of worthless guarantees. It's like the story one of my former parishioners told me several years ago. He had said that he hired a contractor to put a new roof on his home. And because he was used to dealing with such things, he also obtained in writing a 10-year guarantee against leaks and material defects from the contractor. However, 3 years later, his roof started to leak. He thought, no problem, I have a guarantee. But then when he tried to find the contractor who had given him the guarantee, he learned that he had retired, sold his business, and moved to Florida. What he found out was that his guarantee wasn't worth the paper it was written on. Yet we know how important promises are to a civilized society. By their very nature, promises commit us to behaving in certain ways. Since we cannot look into the future and see what keeping a promise may cost us, we cannot know when we make a promise, when it will become inconvenient or costly for us to keep it. Therefore, promises are sometimes made by people who may or may not really intend to actually stand behind them. And when we discover we have made a promise that will cost us, often the first thing we do is look for a way to get out from under our obligation. We look for loopholes in our business agreements. We let manufacturers wiggle out of their product warranties. We use convoluted legal jargon in our guarantees and our contracts. Courts let corporations unload their pension obligations and rarely ever hold top management financially accountable. And we also let ordinary people break their promises to one another while we demand little consequences for such actions. What has happened to us? Why does it seem we live in a world where a commitment or a promise or even a legal contract is no longer taken seriously? At what point did we become more concerned with merely doing what is legal instead of doing what is right? In our text for today that comes from Genesis, it is about the promise God made to Abram. And this is not the first promise that God made to Abram, but it is one that seemed would be impossible for God to keep. The promise God made to Abram was that he would give him a son through his wife, Sarah, who was 89 years old and well past the age of being able to have children. So, when again, God reminds Abram of the promise he had made to him, Sari overheard it and laughs at the thought of having a child at her age. Because Abram and Sari's lack of faith that God would keep his promise, they made a decision that would have lasting effects on their descendants for centuries to come. By having a son through a surrogate mother, Sari's handmaid Hagar. But again, God tells Abram and Sari they will have a son together, no matter how impossible that it may seem. And to further make his point, God changes Abram's name to Abraham, which in Hebrew means father of many, and Sari's name to Sarah, which means princess. Many have asked, why did God test Abraham and Sarah so? Why did God wait so long to fulfill the promise that he had made to them? Perhaps this was God's way of impressing upon them that he was God and that nothing was impossible for him. Also, that he would keep the promise he made to them. God not only gives Abraham a promise, but forms a covenant between himself and Abraham that he would not only make Abraham's descendants into a great nation, but would continue to care for them out to 1,000 generations. The reality of a promise that would be kept under any circumstances is vital to our understanding of God. Without the essence of a promise, God becomes the impersonal creator, but not someone to whom we mere humans can relate to. Promises that are kept are part of what defines God's character. And guess what? It should be a big part of what defines you and me and the character of every Christian. It is rightly said that the Bible is mostly a record of God keeping his promises and of we humans breaking ours. Most everyone knows that the Bible is separated into two major parts, the Old and the New Testament. The best way to understand what differentiates them is to understand that the Old is God's first promise to us, while the New is God's second promise. Although from God's perspective, they are the same promise. God made a promise to be our God, and he has always kept that promise. We call the divisions in the Bible Old and New as a way of distinguishing between the way in which we receive God's grace and forgiveness. The old way was the sacrificial system that required a blood sacrifice of an animal to atone for the sins of people, and it had to be repeated over and over again. The new way of understanding God's grace is that it comes to us through the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. With Christ's death, the demands of the law were fulfilled. And he became the perfect sacrifice to atone for our sins once and for all. And it never has to be repeated. The New Testament says that we are the heirs of God's promise to Abraham. Paul says that clearly in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs of the promise. One of the important things the Genesis passage teaches us is that life is grounded in promises, God's promise to mankind, and in our promises to God and one another. History is clear that when we fail to keep our promises to God and to each other, there will always be consequences. Promises, contracts, commitments are the building blocks of a moral and ethical society. The belief that when a promise is made, it will be kept, is what makes a society function. Marriage vows, vows of membership to service organizations like the Freemasons or Elks or a church, the oaths of office that our elected officials take, codes of ethics we promise to live by, product warranties. These kinds of promises are all critical for a just society to thrive. I would bet that everyone here today can think of someone whose promise is indisputable. As one person once told me about a friend of his, he said, I would lend Frank $10,000 on his word and a handshake. I would also bet that we know of of a few others whose promises are always accepted with a degree of suspicion, shall we say. If they make a promise to us, we never really know for sure if they will keep it or not. I remember when I was growing up, it was common for our neighbors to sell livestock, farm equipment, or a lot of other things with just a handshake and a promise. More than once, I went with my father to farm auctions where he would buy farm equipment or livestock or other things, and then have to find a phone to make a phone call to the banker to let him know that he was writing a check, likely for more money than he had in the bank. And the banker always told him, "No problem. We'll make sure it gets covered." You see, Dad's banker knew that Dad was as good as his word, and that if Dad made him a promise, it would be kept. So what about you? Are you as good as your word? If you make a promise, will you keep it, no matter what the cost? Or do you look at keeping a promise as always, negotiable? How good have you kept your promises in the past? It seems that when we get into a tight spot or there is something we want very badly, many of us are likely to quickly make promises. It's like the actress who had driven to the city for an audition for a lead role in a play. It was the opportunity of a lifetime, a role that could rocket her into stardom. But as she was driving by the theater where the auditions were to take place, traffic was very heavy, and there wasn't a parking place to be found anywhere. And after about the third trip around the block, she discovered she had only minutes to get to her audition on time. In that moment, she looked toward heaven and exclaimed, "Oh God, please help me find a parking spot. If you do, I will go to church every Sunday for the rest of my life. Why, I'll even give up vodka." And instantly, only a few car lengths in front of her, right in front of the front door to the theater, a car pulled out of a parking place. And just as soon as she saw the car leave, she looked toward heaven once again and said, "Oh, never mind, God, I just found one." We don't have to read very far in the Bible to quickly see that the promises God makes to us last forever. However, the promises we make to God are often, well, shall we say, a little shaky. Just think about the promises that you have made to your spouse, to your church, to other people, and to God. How well have you kept them? When someone joins a Methodist church, they stand before the congregation and they take a vow. They promise to support it with their prayers, their presence, their gifts, their service, and their witness. So let me ask, are you as good as your word? When you stood in front of your congregation and took your vow of membership, have you followed through on the things that you promised God and your church that you would do? What if God told us that he would keep his promises to us just as faithfully as we have kept our promises to him? Would that make us happy and confident? Or rather, a bit afraid and anxious? I read a story a number of years ago about the actor W.C. Fields, who was in the hospital and knew that he didn't have long to live. Fields was not exactly known for being a religious person. So when one of his close friends walked into his hospital room one day and found him leafing through a Bible, he was a bit surprised. When he asked his friend what he was doing with a Bible in his hands, Fields replied, "I'm looking for loopholes." Well, as every Christian knows, God provided one. Justice says we deserve death for breaking God's law. But then God created a giant loophole with the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ that anyone may take advantage of. All we must do is ask. Jesus made a promise to all who would follow him. I have gone to prepare a place for you. The reason that I can say I will one day get to go to heaven is not because I have earned it or that I am good enough, because I can never be good enough. The only reason I can say that is because God made a promise to me that if I would come to Him in prayer and confess my sins, He will forgive me. And then I would be invited to come to the place that Jesus has prepared for all those who love Him. As D.L. Moody once said, God never made a promise that was too good to be true. If there is one thing we can be sure of, God will keep His promises. It is a fundamental part of God's character. And as a Christian and a representative of Jesus Christ in the Christian faith, it should be part of ours as well. If we make a promise, we should always stand by it, so that we may be salt and light. Amen.